Good afternoon, everyone.
I get out of all your boxes. I'll get out. You can't hold me in these chains. I'll get out. Father, free me from this bondage. Knowing my condition is the reason I must change. Your stinking resolution is no type of solution. Preventing me from freedom. Maintaining your pollution. I won't support your lie no more. I won't even try no more. If I have to die, oh Lord, that's how I choose to live. I won't be compromised no more. I can't be victimized no more. I just don't sympathize no more. Cause now I understand. You just wanna use me. You say love and abuse me. You never thought you'd lose me. But how quickly we forget. Nothing is for certain. You thought I'd stay here hurting. Your guilt trip's just not working. Repressing me to death. Cause now I'm choosing life, yo. I'll take the sacrifice, yo. If everything must go, then go. That's how I choose to live.
Okay, we're getting there. At least I had a chunk. Okay, it's how I choose to live.
No more compromises. I see past the disguises. Blindly through mind control. Stealing my eternal soul. Appealing through material. To keep me as a slave. But I'll get out. Oh, I'll get out of all your boxes. I'll get out. Oh, you can't hold. Nothing yet. Oh, I don't care if you're upset. I could care less if you're upset. See, you don't change the truth. And your hurt feelings no excuse to keep me in this box. Psychological lock. Repressing true expression. Cementing this repression. Promoting mass deception so that no one can be healed. I don't respect your system. I won't protect your system. When you talk, I don't listen. Oh, let my father's will be done. And just get out. Oh, just get out of all this bondage. Just get out. Oh, you can't hold me in these chains. Just get out. Oh, these traditions killing freedom. Knowing my condition is the reason I must change. I just accepted what you say. Keeping me among the dead. The only way to know is to walk and learn and grow. But faith is not your speed, or you'd have everyone believe that you're the sole authority. Just follow the majority, afraid to face reality. The system is a joke, or you'd be smart to save your soul. Oh, and escape this mind control. You spend your life as to a system for the dead. Oh, are you sure where's the passion in this living? Are you sure it's God you're serving? Obligated to a system, getting less than you're deserving. Who made up these schools, I say? Who made up these rules, I say? Animal conditioning, or just to keep us as a slave, or just get out of this social purgatory. Yeah!
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today on The Conscious Creative. I am one of your show's hosts, Marie Borrojo. I am out here in beautiful Jacksonville, Florida. The weather is fantastic here, and again, we welcome you to our show today. We have two other hosts here. We also have Love Rain, and we have Sage Mayotte.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful day out here in Phoenix, Arizona. For those of you who are our regulars, welcome back. We do appreciate you tuning into the show. Have a really exciting, liberating show today for you. Hope that you all will definitely call in and participate because we definitely value your feedback. And we're going to send it on over to Love Rain. How you feeling?
Good evening, everybody. I'm feeling good. I'm having some technical difficulties, but I'm just trying to work everything out. But thank you all for joining us this afternoon, as always. And make sure y'all follow us on Twitter and on Facebook and all that good stuff.
Well, today's show is going to be fantastic. I feel it. I know it. We have been planning this show probably since the show's conception, this particular show. We talk often about self-love. We talk often about loving ones. And I just want to share a quote with you that I read that says, remember that you were born with a divine purpose and destiny that only you can fulfill. Be your authentic self if you want to fulfill that dream that sleeps within your soul. I tell my kids sometimes that they can never dream beyond what is possible. And the only way that you can really understand that is to understand that you are first worthy of everything that you ever hoped for. You are first worthy of those things. And to understand worth, you have to first what? Have love. Love of self, love of purpose, love of everything that you are, even the things that are challenging for you, even the things that you may feel as if you have not accomplished or succeeded at, because all of those things still work up into creating a fantastic being that is purposed for greatness. So we are going to share those things with you today on The Conscious Creative. We're also going to share a little bit about the mastery of love and loving yourself even in the midst of relationships and how to maintain your autonomy and how to maintain your sense of self. We have some self-love techniques that we're going to share with you today. And more excitingly, as far as where I'm concerned, we're also going to share some things concerning the yoni massage. And if you are familiar with the yoni massage at all, the word yoni is actually a Sanskrit word for vagina. And it's a sacred place on the woman. And it's not about focusing on any special kind of touching or fulfilling in any particular expectation. It is simply to witness us, the woman, and respect her and her feminine nature as divine goddess. So today our show is chock full of things that you can own for yourself and also things that you can share with those that you love around you. And we welcome you to this show today. Our expert on staff, on show, in our hearts, in our lives is the lovely Sage Mayotte. One of the fantastic things about Sage that I've learned over the past few months is that Sage is not only someone who practices spirituality and understanding of self and understanding those around her and sharing those things, but she also believes and completely manifests those things in every area of her life. So to say that she is genuine is an understatement, and I appreciate her in every way. And so I'm going to turn the show over to her for a little bit, and we're actually, you know, we'll all be on, we'll all be sharing, and if there's something that you want to call in and talk about, if there is something that you want to call in and suggest that we talk about, you also can call in and just give us your feedback and give us where you stand on the topic of self-love. We are here and we are listening. Sage?
Thank you so much, Marie. And again, this is Sage Mayotte, and thank you again for joining the show. As she did state, today's show is based around self-healing, which is very important. Last week was based around sexual assault and things like that. And although those do run very prominent in our
communities, it's definitely important to also speak on some healing techniques. And I think it's fitting to begin with defining healing. According to Webster, of course, healing is the process of making or becoming sound or healthy again. And I do want to emphasize the again because none of us were born to suffer. As babies, we're born brilliant, we're born perfect, and life was meant to be that way. Once we are born, we are often taught that we have to settle. We're taught our parents' values and their belief systems and things like that. And it kind of takes us away from our most authentic self. And as we learn those thoughts and beliefs and ways of being from our parents and our peers and our teachers and our pastors and things like that and our community leaders, it takes us away from ourselves. It kind of leaves us lost in a sense. And oftentimes we're not aware that we're all co-creators, and due to those belief systems and things like that being imposed on us, we begin to create our reality, and most often we start to create from a place of fear. And one of the definitions that stand out to me, I'm a really big Erykah Badu fan, and on one of her albums she states that there are only two emotions. One is love, one is fear. Fear being a very low vibratory frequency and love being a very high vibratory frequency. And we often say that all things can be healed with love, and love has been watered down in a sense because we look at it as being something that we have to settle for, something we have to suffer for, and that's not it at all. Love is supposed to make you feel free, and who else can make you feel free outside of yourself? So I think it's very important for us to get to a place where we can reflect first and foremost, and that takes us getting the nerve to be quiet with ourselves and really allowing anything that has been repressed to bubble up to the top, if you will, and deal with it and get out of fear. Most often we fear telling that we've been molested or sexually violated because we fear what others are going to say, maybe that someone won't believe us or that they'll believe it's our fault or that they'll judge us or maybe even that they'll feel sorry for us. But we have to get outside of that and be free in it and learn to love ourselves in a way that celebrates even our deepest scars and our deepest wounds. And that is through self-love. That is through accepting, you know, this has happened, yes. Just piggybacking off of some of the things that took place on the show or that were shared on the show last week, you know, people who have carried, you know, rape by a stepfather for 18 years, 14 years, things like that, and they repressed it because they didn't want their mother to feel guilty or things like that. We as parents, as peers, as friends, we have to be able to love our friends in a way where they know that they can tell us things and we will just be open to receive it and we won't immediately form opinions and things like that. And most often we form those opinions and we're quick to judge because we judge ourselves in the very same way. So it all leads back to self-love. Once you are loving yourself, you can love the world. It's something that I definitely do believe. And just going back to self-reflection, once you start to reflect on yourself and you can love yourself enough to allow yourself to cry, you can love yourself to allow yourself to experience those emotions, the hatred, the guilt, and not just feel them but transform them into love and let them inspire you to get to that place where you know that you deserve to be. And oftentimes we just don't have the time. It's becoming so obvious that time is becoming very, very pricey in the sense that we give it away so much and it taxes us. And also it's very pricey in the sense where when you do take that time for yourself, you realize the true riches in life, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, it does.
And taking the perfect. Taking that time to reflect is one of the most important things that you can ever do for yourself, because not only does it allow you to deal with those things that you don't necessarily want to deal with, it also gives you an opportunity to celebrate yourself. While you may see the darkness, you also see the light in yourself, or you may even become familiar and learn to enjoy the darkness, because that's the only way the stars will shine. But taking the time to reflect will also help you understand yourself and what you enjoy and give you an opportunity to take time to do those things, because more than likely most of us have jobs, we have families, and we're always pulled away to them, and that takes away from us. It takes away from that time, and we've been conditioned to believe that it's selfish to take that time for ourselves, but it's actually the best thing we can do for ourselves and our loved ones. So getting into some ways to take the time to love on yourself is very simple. We talk about self-love a lot. It may seem like it's very complex, but it's actually very simple. It's getting to know you, doing those things, taking the time to do those things that you enjoy. It's not some set formula of what will work for everyone. It is taking that time to say, okay, you know, I really like to run. I like the way I feel after I run, or I enjoy yoga class, or I like to go get manis and pedis every week. And it could be something that you take time to commit to every week or every, you know, every day. I encourage people to take the time to meditate, take time to be quiet with yourself. And meditation isn't always sitting quiet. It could be running, exercising, it could be polishing your nails, it could be reading a book. But more than anything, it's taking time for you, because so many of us don't do that. And it's starting to, those things that start to bubble up to the top when we take time for ourselves, if we don't pay attention to them, it's starting to be, it's starting to show up as disease in our bodies. Never before have women suffered so much from various breast cancers, and it's getting more progressive, and it's become the norm to have tumors in our wombs, and that's not the way it was set up. And more than likely, when we go to a doctor, they're telling us that they just will simply do a hysterectomy, and that's because they don't know and they haven't taken the time to really study the dynamics of the woman's
as an individual. Right,
yes.
Right.
And that's,
I think,
go ahead.
No, I was just really, I mean, just wanted to go back to you when you were talking about self-reflection. And it sounds like one of those sort of easy things, and, you know, when you think about reflection, you think about mirror, you think about looking at something, but you know, it's definitely more than just a looking, and it's definitely more of a surface or superficial sort of looking, the way that you would in the mirror, or even the way that you would look at one instance or one situation at a time. Self-reflection is actually, you know, the capacity that we have to exercise introspection. But it definitely requires a willingness to learn more about our purpose, our essence, our fundamental nature. And that requires energy, and it requires time, and it definitely requires an honesty that many of us are not used to having with ourselves for ourselves. So, I mean,
absolutely.
Just I know we're going to go into some of those techniques as far as whether it be shifting our self-perception, whether it be looking at our cultural influences, whether it be our family. I know Sage, you and I were talking about that earlier this week, and just how family, the influence, and as well-intended as many times our parents, our loved ones may be, just how influential our situations, our childhood issues, old thoughts, beliefs, events, and how all those things actually play a fantastic role. And fantastic, not necessarily meaning good, fantastic meaning large and overwhelming role in our lives and the way that we perceive and understand self-love. A while ago, I'm sure this with you guys, a while ago I wrote something on social media pertaining to this. And one of the things I noticed, Sage, is that, you know, especially going into social media, how it's really easy for us to change our persona. It's really easy for us to make ourselves be something that we're not, whether it be, and it's something as simple as photoshopping a picture. And a lot of us may think nothing about that. Oh, she's just photoshopping it for pictures, it's for entertainment purposes. Well, sometimes there are deeper things behind that. There are deeper things behind a woman who wants to take off 3 or 4 inches off her waist for the sake of a picture so that she can get the attention of others, or a woman who may want to post certain body parts or certain topics for that same amount of attention. So something I wrote and shared a few months ago was this: truth is where we are taught. Truth is we are taught very young that our best isn't good enough, that D that we receive was all that we can muster, yet we're informed that the class needed to be repeated because it wasn't good enough. We ran with all our might but fell short of the touchdown. The next day at practice, we're made to run extra laps because it wasn't good enough. Insecurities often negate real. So funhouse mirrors are created in the world of social media, and we hide behind them, recreating who we think we should with Photoshop pics and bury ourselves in superficiality. Most say they want real but squirm at the sight of truth. So where does that leave sincere communication and connection? They are quickly becoming obsolete. So all of these things are connected. Self-love, disconnecting from one another, disconnecting from yourself, your loved ones, your community, the universe, all of that's the way we see ourselves and the way we accept ourselves. And the lack thereof, the ramifications of those things are far-stretching. And so let's talk about that for a little bit, Sage, as far as I know you mentioned about the womb pain and you mentioned the ramifications of, you know, ignoring yourself, whether it be through neglect, whether it be through holding on to old wounds and holding on to old offenses. You know, what are some of the ramifications that we face when we neglect ourselves, when we fail to love ourselves by practicing the techniques that we'll share later on in the show?
What are some of the ramifications we face? We face, first and foremost, living a life that is a lie. We live a double life because you go to work 40 hours a week or more, and you are out in your community and you're being everything that everybody else wants you to be. And then whenever you're at home, you can finally be yourself. You can take off the makeup. You can put your phone away and not worry about the selfies and things like that. So it's a mental thing. Mental illness is very prominent in our communities. Recently, there was a blogger, famous in the natural hair community, Karen Washington. She committed suicide, and who knows for what reason. She was so busy trying to empower and uplift everyone else while she was dealing with her own thing, whereas it should have been more important for her to focus on her and heal herself and give herself that love that she was pouring into everyone else so that she could be okay.
Right.
And those are some of the ramifications that we face. We face repressing emotions, things that we should have talked about, but we ignore it for so long because maybe it isn't time, or we fear that it's going to be uncomfortable to have that conversation with that person that we know we should have it with, or even with ourselves. We know we should maybe go see a therapist or hire a life coach and things like that, and it comes out as, stress. For me, it shows in my skin. So if my skin is breaking out and it just doesn't look healthy, I know that I've been stressed. I need to take some time for myself and not only take that time to get myself back to me, but also discover a place of balance with it all. And we kind of play around with the possibility of passing these things on to our youth, because if I don't know how to take care of myself and heal myself and the things that I've repressed for so long, I'm going to pass that on to my daughter or my son. So we risk birthing it into our generations to come. We risk all different types of diseases and losing our womb. We risk in older age, you know, arthritis and these things. We're often told that it's the things that we eat, but it's emotions. We carry around so much tension. I learned these things since I practiced yoga and meditation. I used to carry so much tension in my shoulders, and it's not something that I was doing on purpose. Who wants to have tense shoulders? But it's something that it seems so small and minute, but that's where people start to have migraines, and you think that you have to go and get a pill, but that's your body communicating with you. So you risk losing that connection from that beauty of that connection to know, okay, this hurts, so I know I'm holding tension here, or my head hurts, so this is what my body is trying to tell me, or I'm cramping, I'm PMSing, so I know that I wasn't meant to feel this. My moon cycle is supposed to be a celebratory time of my womanhood, and you're missing out on that beauty of being a woman. I'm not a man, so I'm sorry I can't really go into what men may risk on a very intimate level, but it's the same thing in essence, what we all risk. We risk that beautiful connection with ourselves to know ourselves because we put so much of ourselves and we put that trust in someone else because we go and we grab the Midol when it's time for our cycle and we're like, oh, these cramps and this. We curse ourselves because those are words that we're using. That's our bodies hear us, whether we believe it or not. And so now that we're embracing our natural hair and things like that, it's time to go a little bit deeper because those are the places where we are suffering as women. And even as men, men have wombs too. That's the place where we all create from. But women have the wombs that birth humanity. And it's important that we get back there so it's no longer the norm to have fibroid tumors, and it's no longer the norm to get a hysterectomy at 30. It's no longer the norm to have your breast cut off and feel like we just need to be aware of breast cancer and not conscious of its healing or our body's ability to heal itself. So those are the things that we risk this. We risk unhealthy relationships. When a woman's womb is unhealthy, her relationships are gonna manifest as unhealthy as well. But when you're more in touch with yourself and you're more aligned with your purpose and you're passionate about life and you're waking up every day and you're doing something that you love, you're taking that time. It's the norm for you to wake up in the morning and meditate and have some tea and be easy and not wake up and just immediately be stressed because your alarm clock went off and you know you have to go to this job that you hate because you've been taught that you have to live the quote-unquote American dream. So those are just a few of the things that we risk when we choose not to love ourselves. So that's why it's so important to find that balance and that process of healing for oneself.
And it is. It definitely does. It definitely does prevent so many things. It stifles so many things. And more than anything, it definitely stifles growth. You know, we find ourselves unable to see beyond that moment a lot of times because hope has faded. We become scared not only of everything around us, we become scared of ourselves. And so when we're seeing these different, I guess, what we're holding inside of our wombs and what we're not allowing to let go, they still manifest. And, you know, you may think that these things have, the experience may be over, meaning that thing that happened on April 28th, 1992, that day may be long gone. But we're still manifesting that date over and over again in different ways in our lives. And it can be, you know, anything from not being able to move forward in your career and school and like Sage said, in relationships. Because the truth of the matter is, and as cliche as it may seem, when you don't love yourself, you are simply incapable of loving someone else. Because love is a very personal thing. It's a choice. It's a decision that we make. And so if you cannot make that decision for yourself, surely you cannot make that decision to do it or to give it freely to someone else. And you run the risk of having those things that should be done freely being taken from you. And like Sage said earlier, you run the risk of, you know, being in relationships that are uneven and unbalanced and not healthy and not good for you or that person. And so what we're going to try to do and we hope to do today and what we've talked about all week in preparation for this show is wanting to share with you some ways that we can shift your self-perception. You know, we want to move the way that we see ourselves from this or from that to this. So that unworthy feeling that we may feel, those not being as aware of ourselves as we should, the self-loathing and those things. Now, we definitely will not say that we have a magic pill. We definitely don't have that. We don't have a cure-all for those things. But what we can do is share with you some steps that we've learned, either through our studies or either through our own experiences. And I know for me, one of the things that I've done, and I know Sage will share some with you guys as well. And two of the things actually that I'll share with you right now is I started beginning my day with love. So when I wake up in the morning and regardless of how I'm feeling, I am immediately aware of myself. I am immediately reminded of my worthiness. I'm immediately reminded of my purpose. I am immediately reminded of the passionate life that I am set out to live, and I'm immediately reminded of things that make me happy, whether it be my kid laying next to me, this, what, like they said, this big ass flower in my bedroom is sitting directly in front of my bed. I have this huge, it's probably about 4 feet tall, I have this huge yellow rose sitting in my bedroom, and I look at it, and that makes me happy. And it's small things like that. Instead of rolling over, picking up your phone and checking Instagram and rolling over, because that in itself, it's so inundated with negativity a lot of times. There are days, and I know I'm kind of veering off, but I'm just going to go with it. There are days when I get on social media and it literally makes me ill. Like I feel ill. And because I'll go through the timeline and you'll have, you know, somebody's talking about how to do this sexually to someone. Somebody's talking about their haters. Someone's posting something graphic on. And before you know it, I have soaked that up into my spirit, and it is the first thing that I got that morning. And then you wonder why you're sort of just kind of, you know, slugging through the day, and you find yourself really heavy through the day. And, yeah, it is absolutely, it can be our diet, absolutely. It could be our sedentary lifestyles, but it's also the things that we allow into our eye gate and our ear gate, because those things are not feeding the part of us that's dying off, and that's the way that we love ourselves. And so I begin my day with love, and I talk happy to myself. I affirm myself. I train my mind to become more positive. And so even when it looks like it's crazy, even when I feel crazy about something, I will speak what I want that thing to be. Versus speaking exactly what it is at that moment, I say to myself what I want it to be. And then I begin to manifest those things in my life, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally, which is where all things begin, in our mind. And then one more thing I'll share with you is I'm honest. I am immediately emotionally honest about how I feel. There was a time in my life when I thought I had to carry everything. I thought it was my job to make everyone happy. I thought it was my job to make sure that everybody felt secure. And, you know, little old me, I'm thinking that I could do it all. And somehow I thought that this mindset was noble, that this was somehow a good thing, but it was depleting me of my natural resources. And so any seeds that may have been thrown or sown my way were falling on stony ground because I was no longer fertile, because I was walking around dry, completely dry and void of any amount of growth. And so I had nothing left to give because life was literally being drained from me. And so I began to be more emotionally honest, not just with myself, but also with those around me who were pulling from me. And there were times when a friend would text me and needed something and I couldn't give it. And I don't mean a tangible physical thing. Sometimes it's an ear, and I just don't have that to give. Because right now at that moment, I may have been in a spiritually vulnerable place or an emotionally vulnerable place, and I was open and I was honest, and I said, I can't listen today. If you're still going through tomorrow or another time, I will call you back. But right now, I'm just unable to give you what it seems like you need right now or want at that moment. And be honest, you know, be honest with yourself, be honest with everyone around you, and let go of numbing your feelings by shopping and eating and drinking and smoking And being comfortable with sadness, being comfortable allowing other people to allegedly or, you know, just kind of it's a pseudo feeling because you're not being filled, but looking for other people to feel these places in your life that really only you can feel. So I stopped doing those things, and I was mindful of it. And I was mindful of my own feelings, and I was mindful of my own emotions. And for me, that was the beginning of loving myself again. So those are my steps. Those are some of my steps in the way that I shifted my own self-perception. What about you, Sage?
I'll first say to anyone out there who is listening, you deserve to live a life on purpose, one that's created in love and in joy for you. You deserve the best of the best, and once you decide that that is what you deserve and that that's what you're going to create, then things will start happening for you. And not just decide with your words, but decide in your actions. And that's really where things started for me. In my process, I guess, I chose to say no. One of the hardest things for many of us is to say no. We feel like we have to take verbal abuse or emotional abuse, psychological abuse from quote-unquote loved ones because that's family. So one of the biggest things to do is to disconnect from what everyone else thinks and what everyone else says you should be doing, and decide that you're going to ask yourself, because what you want is what matters. What you want is what's going to be most lucrative for you, and not what you want as far as material, but what your spirit is asking you for. Because we all have an inner guidance called intuition. So becoming more in touch with my intuition and being able to say no in situations where I wanted to heal and have conversations, and maybe someone may have been more angry about it and they insisted on being angry, I allowed them the space to do so, be it family, friends, or whatever. So you're going to have to get real with yourself and decide that you are not going to take anything personal, because once you start to love yourself, everybody won't be able to accept that. And so you have to decide that you're not going to take it personal and that you're going to live your life by your design. And that's kind of where things begin with me. In the mornings, I make it a point to smile. When my alarm clock goes off and I open my eyes, I smile and I say thank you. I say thank you. I start my morning by everything that I'm encountering. After my morning meditation, I must make time for meditation in the morning. I have to have 20 minutes at least of time just with myself, where I visualize my day and I just focus on my breathing. I wake up my body. I'm very aware of any tension and things like that in my body, and I release it, and I start my day like that. And I refuse to start my day in a rush and having to be somewhere for everybody else. I take time for me because I'm taking me wherever I go. And so that definitely sets the tone for my day today. Smiling, and this isn't the smiling where everybody out in the streets in the community may say, you know, smile, you look so sad. Every smiling face isn't happy. So I make it a point to smile in my core, and what I mean by that is basically just putting a smile on your face, visualizing it being at the core, your stomach, your womb area, that you're smiling there. And once you know that you're doing it right, you'll feel it. You'll feel that sense of joy because all of you is energy, so you'll feel that. Another thing for me, and this show is helping, is embracing your voice. You came to share something with the world, and your voice may be your actual voice, your talking voice. It may be you writing. It may be you leading. It may be you creating. But embracing your voice and being okay with it first, because if you're shy and you fear speaking and things like that, you will never blossom. So definitely doing that, but taking the time to meditate, those are some things that I do. Crying, journaling, writing things out, forgiving. Forgiving. For you, not necessarily anyone else, but forgiving yourself, because you may beat yourself up like, oh, I'm this age and I haven't done this because society says by this age you should have done this, this, and this. No, you aren't here to fulfill the society's idea of who you are. So you have to forgive yourself for any and everything. Forgive yourself for that mistake that you made. Forgive yourself for dropping out of high school, or forgiving yourself for that relationship that didn't work out right. And forgive yourself so that you can get to the lesson. Because everything that you've experienced, you've created it, you've had it manifest in your life so that you can learn and grow from it. You can transform that energy into something that's going to serve your highest good. So practicing forgiveness, a forgiveness technique that really has worked tremendously for me, is mirror work with my journal. You can write down whoever's name. It could be your own name, whatever it is that you are constantly thinking about or that's nudging at you and making you feel less than. Basically, you write down that person's name. You go over the situation out loud and, you know, tell them, you know, mom, dad, sister, brother, aunt, cousin, friend, ex-lover, I forgive you for X, Y, and Z. I know that you were acting out the best of you with what you had then, and what you may have imposed on me as hurt was not something that you did intentional. It was you doing the best that you could with what you had at that time. And I release you, I forgive you, and I forgive myself, and all is well. And you send them love, you send them light, and you say to them, you know, I love you. Anybody that you encounter, you should be able to forgive in a way that you can still express authentic love for them. It doesn't mean that you have to be in a loving, romantic relationship or that you have to still condone something that is not healthy for you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, but you should be able to love them because when you can love them, you can see yourself in them, and we're all reflections of each other. So that person, no matter how much it may have hurt at that time, they brought something good to you. So once you can see that, you can take away from that experience what you needed to take away from it. And I promise you, once you consistently do this, and you may have to do it every day for the next month, your walk may be completely different from the next person, and that is okay. That's how you get to you. You realize that, you know, your individuality in it all. But stay with it, being consistent, not running away from any emotion, but also not staying in that emotion. So you're not just saying, oh, right, I'm angry and I'm just going to stay angry, and being angry at this person is going to make them suffer. No. You may be sending some negative energy to them, but the only person who suffers is you. Because while you're focused on angry, you can't receive any love, you can't give any love. And so you're suffering. You're holding it in. You're probably tense. You can't create because you have so much energy focused on this. And so forgiveness has been one of the biggest things that has helped me along the way. Nobody is doing anything to you. You're attracting that because you're reflecting it, so you're getting it back. So whatever energy you're putting out there, you're getting it back. So it's good. It's best to get to your authentic self, which is love, and being able to give that out so you can receive it. And also, if there is any negative energy that you were to meet, you can transform that to also help you along the way. Because, I mean, energy can't be destroyed, but that's a whole other subject. But those are a few techniques that have helped me. And I know Marie mentioned earlier about affirming herself. Affirmations work. You may see people talk about affirmations a lot and say, oh, what's an affirmation? That's what you're doing every day. When you say, I am, I'm so sleepy, or I'm so tired, or I'm so stupid. I hear people say that so casually about themselves. And I'm just like, why would you say that you're stupid? Or people will say, I'm sad. Or the way you speak about yourself is going to manifest in your life. Like, you're going to say that, or you're going to give yourself reasons to always feel like you're stupid, or you're going to always attract that type of relationship. When you say, I always attract cheaters, or I can never get a good lover, or I can't get this type of person, or I can't get this type of job because I don't have this degree. You can have whatever you decide you want. And that is, that comes from affirming yourself. So whatever follows I am is what you're creating in your life. So being mindful of your self-talk, just to recap, visualizing, get a journal, take time with yourself, wake up in the morning grateful, and you'll see a shift. And this is, this can go along with any religious belief. I don't identify with any religion, but I also don't shun anyone for their religious beliefs. I think that we're all connected, and I think that we can all learn something from everyone. So this is in no way any type of religion. It's just, you know, loving yourself, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So decide that you're going to do it and move in that direction.
Right. That's very good. I actually did not realize, I know our host, Love Rains, was having some technical difficulties earlier, and she is actually with us. And I apologize because, yeah, her energy is always needed. We have this kind of threefold synergy type of thing flowing together. Like, you know what is fantastic? Anytime you have candy that's mixed with another kind of candy, and like you have like three different kind of flavors, like I love to put like three Skittles in my mouth at one time. Because, you know, don't do me like that. But that's kind of the way I see it, you know. The three of us definitely have three different types of personalities, experiences, understandings, all those sorts of things. But we collaborate fantastically. So I don't want to leave my Love Rains out of this conversation. But Love, I did read a really, really, I love simple quotes. I love simple quotes that don't seem that deep, but really, really are, but it is, you know, they're written in language that everyone can understand. So I read this quote by Tadahiko Nagao, and it says, the first step toward being love is learning to love what you see when you look in the mirror. So simple, so easy. It isn't a bunch of words. You can put that on a T-shirt, and before the person walks by you, they would have read it, looked at your boobs, and probably read that as well. But they would have gotten the point. Love, you know, chime in, honey. Tell us what you think. I know you are full of experience and definitely wisdom.
I mean, I think that, you know, self-love is definitely something that I've It's one of those things for me where I would always say, yeah, I love myself, you know what I mean? But I didn't really fully understand the true meaning of that. And as far as the you know, going back to what Sage was saying, as far with the young lady, the blogger, who committed suicide, you know, those are things that I definitely know, you know what I mean? Because of when you're charged with the responsibility to speak to people and to be an inspiration to people, and you know, people are constantly looking to you for words of encouragement or advice of any kind. You know, with poetry, that is something that is definitely we're definitely pulled on a lot for that. You know, in, as far as being in front of people, that is something that I didn't realize for myself could weigh on you. And it wasn't until everything kind of came crashing down at one time that I realized, like, oh, crap, like, I'm really not as strong as I thought I was, and I'm really not, I can't carry the weight that I'm carrying from my past and my family and my friends and all this stuff. I can't carry all that weight and carry everybody else's weight. And that's something that I've been doing forever. Like, I've been carrying everybody else's weight, and it's dangerous. That becomes dangerous, you know, when you decide to, or when you carry everybody else's weight and not really handle your own. So one of the main things that I had to do when I just finally got to my breaking point, I literally just cut off everybody. I cut off everybody, and I went to be up under my mom, and that's what I did, you know, and I needed that time to just kind of disconnect from everybody, everything and everybody, because everything was just going on at the same time. And so a lot of times what you have to do, you have to have that time to be alone and be by yourself, because if you don't, then, you know, everything, you know, the voices in your head, not necessarily, not saying like the other people in your head, but the voices in your head are telling you, oh, you know, you're hearing what people say on social media, or you're hearing what other people say, and you're hearing all of these things, and you're hearing what other people are expecting you to be, instead of hearing what you are supposed to be for yourself and what you're expecting of yourself. So you have to get away from those things, and you have to get away from everybody and just kind of disconnect from the world, disconnect from social media, you know, turn your phone off. It's okay. Whatever's happening today, I guarantee you it's going to happen tomorrow, or it's not, you know what I mean? If it's not going to, if the world isn't going to end because you turn your phone off, or because you're not on social media for one day or 2 days or a week, the world will not stop. And so everything and everybody, they'll be okay. They'll be all right if you disconnect. You know, and another thing that I started to do was every morning I get up and I say my affirmations. I have affirmations that, you know, it begin from, one of the main things I'll say is, you know, I'm a divine creator. I'm a child of the universe. Those are things that I say to myself every day. So you have to find those affirmations and find those mantras and those things that kind of help you to start your day off. I'm still working on the meditation part. Sage wants me to get up at an ungodly hour in the morning to do meditation. But I'm working on it.
Ungodly hour? How dare you?
The Sage wants me to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm kidding. But I'm going to do it. I'm working on the meditation. It's just got to get up. I already get up at 6, and it takes
once
me about
you
an hour.
Do it, once you do it, I promise you, you'll be like, you know what? This is a date that I have to keep with myself. It's just amazing. You will.
Yeah.
I promise.
I'm going
to
do it.
The problem is probably the time she goes to bed, because love is a night owl almost. I said the problem is not the time you have to get up. It's the time you go to bed, and so you're exhausted.
Yeah.
By the time it's time to get up. And I get it. But you know what? That's actually also a part of loving yourself is knowing when to sit down and knowing when to say I'm tired and knowing when to say I'm going to have to pass on this assignment. I'm going to have to pass on that project because I really need to just kind of reflect and think about me for a little bit. And I'm going to sit by the water, eat some celery and some carrots and probably drink some wine, probably the whole bottle because they say it's good for the heart. And so I'm going to drink the whole bottle. So don't judge me. I like Shiraz.
You're not judging.
I like Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. It's just wine. So we're going to go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to give you a very quick break. I don't like to say break because no one needs a break from the conscious creative. We're pretty much fantastic. So before we go, however, I want to let you know that when you get back, we're going to discuss a little bit on the difference between self-esteem and self-love. And most people would think it's the same. It really isn't. And so they do support each other, but from similar factors, but they're different probably in the way you view and treat yourself. So basically, for me, self-esteem comes from a sense of pride or something that you did or who you are, and it's probably related to just a piece of you, whereas self-love is an overall acceptance of who you are as a person with your flaws and your stretch marks and, you know, your nappy hair and your full lip and your funky little attitude that you have sometimes. And from that place, you know, we'll create an inner desire to take care of who you are and to focus on what makes you happy. So when we get back, we are going to discuss that a little bit right before we go into our unwrap segment where we will talk about yoni massage. Lovely, lovely, lovely. I'm looking forward to that. So while you are waiting, I want you guys to enjoy Miss Janelle Monae, her Q-U-E-E-N song queen. And be ready to call us in or get on Twitter with us. You know, we're definitely on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Chime in, give us your input, your thoughts, and we are waiting to hear from you. Here's Janelle Monae.
Believe all of the things they say about me. Walk in the room.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed Miss Janelle Monae as much as Sage Mayotte did. She is a big fan. Listen, Sage texted yesterday or whatever it was, and she was so excited because Janelle Monae was dancing on the stage at Coachella, and this girl was so excited about that. She was so proud of Janelle Monae. So I really hope you guys were over there rocking because that is her boot. That is her boot. So we are back. That's her boot. That's her boot. She loves her. And, hey, look, that's the part of love for her. You know, that's a beautiful thing in her life. That's something she incorporates in her life. She probably has pictures of some sort around. She probably... She is probably over there blushing, but I'm going to go ahead right now. Right before we left, everyone, again, this is Marie Borrojo, and you are on the Conscious Creative with myself, Sage Mayotte, and Love Reigns, and we are discussing self-love, not the self-love movement that, you know, we hear a lot of New Agers talking about, and we're walking about just sort of full of ourselves, and we're definitely not talking about anything like that, but we're talking about something that's tangible that we can see and feel and smell and taste in our everyday lives and the way that we're living it more passionately and fearlessly and allowing things to no longer stifle us. And when we're letting go of fear and we're letting go of hatred and we're letting go of unforgiveness, and we are making a promise to ourselves that we are going to live a life full of love, and that first begins with self, and that's what we're doing today. So again, right before we left, we were talking about self-esteem versus self-love, and what I describe as self-esteem is something that is I don't want to say it's more superficial, but it's not as in-depth as self-love. You know, self-esteem has more to do with something you've done or who you are, who you look at yourself, and it's more proud of a proud feeling. And it's probably just related to a piece of who you are. Like maybe, you know, your self-esteem comes from the fact, I don't know, you received a promotion at work. Sage Mayotte did. You know, received a promotion at work and you feel really high of yourself. You feel really good about yourself. And that's not a bad thing. Don't let anybody tell you that's a bad thing. Whereas self-love is it's an overall thing. It's I like me. I love me. I know I'm flawed. I'm beautifully flawed. I know that I've made mistakes. My mistakes have brought me to where I am today. Absolutely, I have a filthy mouth like a sailor, but it's actually a part of my charm. I say that kind of stuff on a regular. And so it's that inner desire. Yes.
Yeah, and
I have a filthy mouth, but you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It is okay. I'm okay with it. Not everyone is. I remember I had an aunt, and she, you know, she's still my aunt. I'm saying I remember I had an aunt as if she's somehow no longer part of the family. But I remember the very first time when I became an adult, and I did two things, like this cardinal sin. She and I decided to go out to dinner. We're sitting having dinner, and the first thing I did was order an alcoholic beverage. I'm an adult now. I'm paying for the entire dinner, mind you. And so I ordered this alcoholic beverage, and, you know, as we're talking, and she's clearly uncomfortable with the fact that I'm drinking wine in front of her. You know, she changed my Pampers or whatever her issue was. She's very religious. And maybe shortly after that, I think I said, ass. Oh, gas in the pool. She clutched the pearl. You would have thought she was going to pass out. She would have called in on Jesus. And as she's going through all of this stuff and you know, the funny thing is, like, I would normally, under that type of circumstance, I would apologize, take this wine away, can you just bring me some water, because I just wanted her to be happy if I were a different person at that moment. But at that moment, I loved me, and I love the fact that I can say ass so freely, and I love the fact that I can order wine as an adult. And I said to her, as she's going off about all this different stuff, about what she's looking at with her eyes pertaining to to who I am, and I said, auntie, I am perfectly okay with me. And I didn't offer her an apology. I didn't say I'd stop. I just said, I'm okay with me because I am. I love me right there. I love me when I left, and I love me today. And that was okay. So what's the difference between the two? I just explained what I think the difference is. And I think a lot of times when we walk through our lives, especially growing up as teenagers, and we can begin to pick up different things, and this is very important, especially for parents, you know,
we'll big up our kids when it comes to the things that they accomplish. You know, my son made a touchdown. My daughter got a scholarship. We'll big all these things up, and those, that's portions of who they are. And so then what happens is children learn to look for those accolades. They learn to beg for them and need them because it is the only thing that really drives them, right? But here's something I'll pose to you parents and even loved ones, you know, whatever your role is in a child's life.
Yeah.
How about just simply saying you're fantastic? Just regardless, you can't, you know, your daughter just walked in, her hair is looking a mess, she flopped down on the bed with her all-day clothes, which is a huge pet peeve of mine. She lay next to me with this, and I touched her hair, and I said, you know, you are fantastic. I love who you are. I love the way that you are. She had done nothing. She didn't walk in with a report card. She had done nothing. And so that, to me, is the beginning of self-love, of showing her that me loving you and then you loving yourself has nothing to do with what you do. It's just simply who you are, right? It's just simply who you are.
Right, absolutely.
So then how do you then go and which is going back to self-esteem, because a lot of us will then feel a little ashamed or we will feel as if we're being pompous if we give ourselves the self-praise or if we allow ourselves the permission to say, you know, I'm proud of myself at this thing. Because, listen, although those two things are different, they also benefit one another.
Yeah.
They also benefit one another. So, you know, let's say with Rain, with love, she's fantastic at what she does. She's also very humble. She's a fantastic poet. She's probably one of the best poets that I know. Oh, and we actually have a poet that's going to be performing today. She's going to be, love, which form is she doing for us today? Is the one that about self-love?
Yeah, she's doing the one that she did last week called self, and she's going to explain about it and talk about why self-love is important to her.
Okay, is she on yet? She's not on yet. Okay, she's not on yet. So, well, as I was saying, with love and her craft and what she does, and which is fantastic, and she also, you know, sends that out to others. She extends that love by offering her talents and her gifts to the community, which also gives love back into her, pours it back into her. So, you know, moving from, you know, self-esteem and self-love and giving back into ourselves and giving it to our community, you know, what are some other things we can do to make room for more love in our lives, to make room for more love for ourselves, and then be able to effectively extend that to others? Do you know what I mean, love?
I mean, definitely. I think it's important to, you know, once you start with that time and taking that time out for yourself, one of the other things that you can do, you know, you can do poetry, you can write music, you can, you know, you can paint, you can do a myriad of different things, you know, to really extend your self-love and extend that to other people. You know, you can go and volunteer at a community center or volunteer at the library or volunteer at different places. Those things, you know, where you're spending time with yourself and you're getting to know yourself also in doing those things, but while you're doing that as well, you're also giving back and you're also showing to, you know, to the community that you are not only taking care of yourself, but you're taking care of your community as well. So I think that those are things that work for me. Definitely writing. Writing is always my fallback. I'm able to express myself better with a pen and a piece of paper than I am verbally. You know, so that works for me. You know, and for other people, it might be reading a book, or it might be, you know, going to the movies or going out to dinner or whatever. Whatever works for you. It's important to find what's important, what is, you know, good for you. And as far as poetry is concerned, the reason I love poetry is because I can be my authentic self in my poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
I've had people tell me on several occasions that, you know, they'll meet me, and then when they find out later that I'm a poet and then they see me perform, they always tell me, it's like two different people. Because when I'm love reigns, I can authentically be who Taryn is, if that makes sense. When I'm not on stage or I'm not performing, it's not that I conform to who people want me to be. It's just that I'm quiet. I'm quiet. I don't say much. I'm very reserved. I keep to myself. But then when I'm on stage, an entirely different person comes out, and that's my authentic self. And I can get up. I can get on stage, and I can talk about what it is that I was going through at that time that I wrote that poem. And when I'm on stage and I'm reciting a poem, especially a poem that's about myself, I'm not worried about judgment. I'm not worried about what people are going to think. I'm not worried about what people are going to say, because this is mine. This is the one thing that I have, one of the things that I have control over. These are my words. This is something that I wrote. These are my thoughts that I've decided to share with the world, and nobody can mm-hmm. tell me that my thoughts, my feelings are wrong. So when I'm on stage, I'm my true, authentic self, and I can make up words, and I can, you know, make up all kinds of things, and I can make up this grandiose story, you know, if I want to, in this poem, and make it fit into my life through my poetry. I can do that because it's mine. You know what I mean? So it's something that is definitely a freeing experience for me every time I perform, because I can be me, and it's something that I love to do, and I think that's why I've been attracted to poetry for so long, because it allows me to truly be me, and I don't have to explain, and I don't have to look for acceptance in what I say, because they're my thoughts. And you know, if you don't like my thoughts, then oh well, you know.
Right.
And that's why it's so important to focus on self-love, because that bridges the gap between the two. That way, when you get to that point where you're just like, I'm still me off stage, and whenever I get off stage, I'm still me, and I know that I'm going to draw the people to me who genuinely should be in my life. That's how you weed out the people who aren't supposed to be around. Those people who expect you to be someone different, they will fall away. You won't have to worry about that. And I think we all kind of do that. That's kind of what I was saying earlier about you go out into the world and you're this, what the world says you should be. You dress this way, you do this, when you really don't like clothes at all. And you come home and you're finally like, yes, I can just take off these clothes, or I can just take off this makeup, or I can take my hair down and I don't have to wear it straight because that's the way they say I should wear it. And things like that. It's important to be able to bridge that gap, and I think we all deserve to exist in a space and time more often than not where we can be that person. And that's why it's so important to live your passion, because you're living your passion constantly, and you're able to be a full-time writer. You're able to perform. The money is going to come. So many of us, we conform to a degree, or we settle for this career because it pays, it keeps us comfortable, but nothing ever grows in your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And that's what I kind of want to touch on, self-esteem and self-love earlier. They kind of work hand in hand. Where mm-hmm. the divide comes is when it's authentic, when you mm-hmm. are really loving yourself. Because I hear people say, oh, I love myself too much to do this, this, and this. And you can tell it in the way that they express it, that it's just ego-driven. So that's mm-hmm. where the divide is. So once you authentically love yourself, your self-esteem will be in an authentic space too, because they both work hand in hand. They will align, and they will go without you saying anything. People can see that you're loving yourself because you're on your own stage and you're performing, you're traveling, you're performing, you're surrounded by poets, you're surrounded by creators and things like that, and the money is just flowing to you effortlessly. And your self-esteem is there, and it's authentic because it shows in your eyes. You emanate happiness. You emanate joy. When you walk in a room, your light is there. It's obvious. You light up that room when you walk in. And no matter what you're wearing, no matter if you're super tired, it all still shines through. So I think the disconnect with self-esteem and self-love is whether or not the two of them are ego-driven or not, but I do think that they work hand in hand.
They definitely do. And I just want to add, because, you know, definitely we're talking about self-love. And I want to add that nothing replaces self-love. Like, there's nothing that we could have, nothing that anyone can provide for us that will replace that. And I see it a lot, definitely in you know, the people that I meet and the connections that I make, whether it be in passing or not. You know, you can definitely see, and not with judgment, but you can definitely see when that balance is not there, especially in relationships. And a lot of times we'll replace self-love for an attempt to love someone else. And then what ends up happening is we're pouring all of this energy and very unbalanced and unhealthy amount of energy into someone else and not giving it to yourself. And so I want to say that you cannot replace that, whether that energy, whether that thing be a child, a lover, your job, even, you know, some type of religious organization. Nothing can replace the love that you need to have for yourself. And I just really, really wanted to impress that upon someone who's listening, that, you know, a lot of times we'll think that, well, I'm just going, we'll think at it, look at it as being selfless. You know, I'm going to give all my time, all my energy. I'm going to love on this person, love on these children. I'm going to ignore myself. I've gained weight. I have headaches, and I'm really kind of sick. I don't have a lot of energy. I sleep all day when I am home. But when I get up, I'm going to pour all my energy into my kids. We're going to go shopping. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And never take an ounce of that for yourself. You are doing yourself a disservice, and you're also doing your children and the ones that you love a disservice as well. And it's very important to find that balance. And it's very important.
Because when you
really choose to heal yourself,
you show other people why it's important for them to do the same. So for sure, you definitely want to take that time for you.
Yeah, take that time for you. And so here I am. I'm going to give you some tips that I think they're pretty much universal tips, I think, some more tips on how to really love yourself and, you know, what can I do to shift my self-perception. And we talked about a few of those things, beginning your day with love, and we talked about meditating and journaling, as Sage does, talk yourself happy, which is something that I do. I think all of us do that here on the show. And being emotionally honest, you know. Here's another one. How about expanding your interests? You know, trying something new, doing something you've never done, going places you've never been. When I turned 38, well, prior to that, I used to be terrified of water and heights. I don't know why. I just was. It was very, all fear is unhealthy. It was definitely, it's not like I ever fell off a building or almost drowned in a river. I don't know. But it was just there. This fear was there. And so when I turned 38, I went to Hawaii, and I jumped off of a cliff. Now, it was not a big old huge cliff. I didn't dive, you know what I'm saying? It was like, you know, like I didn't need a parachute to get to the bottom, but it was significant for me. And I jumped off that cliff into water without, you know, there wasn't anybody aiding me. There wasn't anybody waiting for me because I needed to overcome that fear. And it was like a push into living that fearless life that I've always wanted. And I will tell you that it definitely worked for me. So definitely expanding your interests, enjoying life-enhancing activities, like Sage said, exercising, meditating, yoga, like Taryn, like Love said, you know, her poetry, and that definitely helps her, and giving to her community as well. And become willing to surrender, you know, letting go of something. Let go of it. You can never see the whole picture. You know, you don't know what, you don't know what anything is for. You know, stop fighting against yourself by thinking and desiring people and events in your life that should be different. And, you know, your plan may be different from your soul's intentions. And if you just breathe and relax and just sort of let it go, you know. Work on your personal and spiritual development. Be willing to surrender and grow. I mean, the life isn't about today. It isn't about tomorrow. It isn't about yesterday. It's about the entire journey. And that's what we're doing. And, you know, we definitely want to learn how to do that and how to love on a deeper level. You know, own your potential. Love yourself enough to believe in the limitless opportunities you have available to you. You know, take action and create a beautiful life for yourself. Don't wait for somebody to give it to you. Don't wait for things to come knocking on your door. Bust them down, you know. But in all of that, you definitely want to be patient with yourself. Stop feeling like Sage said, that You know, you're thinking that by this age you should have this, by this age you should have that. Love yourself enough to believe that that urgency and that fear is actually what's holding you back. Relax and transform, mm-hmm. you know. Trust in yourself. Do good work, and you will be rewarded by the universe. So those are just some things that I encourage everybody to do. I'll share a few more with you in a little bit. When we come back, we're going to stop for another break, real quick one, share another one of our favorite songs, and then when we get back, we are going to get into, drum roll please, yoni massage. I'm very excited about that. Clearly. Wait, I don't know if it should be a drum roll or should it be harps playing. I don't know, but I just really feel like there should be some music playing before we start talking about that. But I will say that I have a perfect song for it, and we are going to listen to India Ari Beautiful. And when we come back, we're going to discuss yoni massage. And if you have any questions about that, if you have any comments or anything that myself or Sage or Love has said so far, please tweet, IG, Instagram. That is IG, that is Instagram. Facebook. Mm-hmm. Some of you have our phone numbers, but don't call because it messes up the entire flow. Stick to this online. And because I know I have friends that can call. Stop calling. Yeah. Okay, look at that. Look at that. And I want to see, you know, I'm excited to see which one of our listeners is going to press one and engage in our conversation about yoni massage. And, well, here is India Irie Beautiful, and we'll be right back with you.
Somewhere
Welcome back. This is Marie Borrojo of The Conscious Creative, and I am on this afternoon with my other two hosts, Sage Mayotte and the lovely Love Rains, and today we are having a fantastic discussion. We are talking about self-love, and we are talking about it, and we are talking about it, and we are talking about it. And what we want everybody to understand
and what are we doing?
What it means talking about it.
Oh, okay.
I said that four times. That means I meant it. And then I said it. Did you know? Did you notice that on the last time I said it, like, talking about it? You got that? So that meant I used that last talking about it as, like, this invisible instrument that was boring into someone's heart, and they got it at that last one. So we are talking about being your authentic, beautiful, loving, free from disease, free from regret, free from fear, free from unforgiveness self. And in all of that, we are talking about the need to accept yourself. We talked about what the ramifications are for not loving yourself. We talked a little bit about emotional detoxification, of letting some of those things go, allowing your heart to be healed and how important it is to heal. I will do a shameless plug as if the author of this book is listening, but I will say that Sage has been encouraging me to read a book called Mastery of Love. And the very fact that she keeps telling me about it, means it must be a good book, man. I'm going to tell everybody who's listening to get it, you know, download it. If one of your friends has it, go to her house and sit on her couch and read it if she won't let you borrow it. But get that
for
book. The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. There we go. And why should everyone read that book, Sage Mayotte?
Because if you can master how to love yourself and forgive, I mean, there's no book written on things, so usually we need some type of guidance. It's positive. It urges you to forgive. It urges you in your relationship with yourself and your relationship with others. It speaks on toxic behaviors that we become to think or maneuver as if it were the norm or the most healthy. And it gets you out of your comfort zone. It nudges you to love yourself. It nudges you to forgive others and to love in an unselfish way and to love in a way that not only you but all those you encounter feel free.
That was fantastic. That should have been the cover of that book.
All right, Don.
Really? I'm feeling the love this afternoon. I don't know if anyone else is, but I am feeling the love literally and figuratively as we enter into the Yoni Massage in our unwrapped session. Yeah. So I'm sure Yoni it may or may not be a word that everybody is familiar with. Yoni is a Sanskrit word, and it is a word for vagina, and it literally means sacred space or temple. And I think you said it earlier, Sage. You started talking about, you know, yes, some men carry it, but the significance of a woman carrying that pain in her womb and then giving birth to that. And I thought that was definitely profound. And so what we're talking about today is how this sensuous form of bodywork that also builds trust between the giver and the receiver, it also connects the receiver
to their inner sensual nature, and the resulting feeling is one of complete well-being and satisfaction, contentment, relaxation, and all those lovely things. Now, not to be confused with masturbating. I definitely don't want anyone to feel as if this is all that this exercise is about, because it's not. And although it is extremely stimulating, the purpose is not to bring the woman to orgasm. It's actually to relax, like I said earlier. It's actually to bring emotions to the surface so that she feels free enough to express that natural, powerful, sometimes full-body orgasm or multiple orgasms. And this is definitely the beginning of learning her body. And if you are sharing in this experience, it's definitely the beginning of understanding her body as her lover. And so the experiences and feelings that a woman may have during this massage, it, you know, can be different. Just like, I don't know if anyone has ever had acupuncture done. And I'm definitely not, I don't want to relate the physical aspect of the two, but the emotional aspect of the two. So the yoni massage can bring anger, lust, sadness, indifference, like a lot of different things. It depends on where the receiver is at that moment. And it is similar to acupuncture. Acupuncture, I remember the very first time I received acupuncture, my emotions were all over the place. At one point, I had this overwhelming urge to jump up and run. And I think that the practitioner felt that, and so she started rubbing my shoulder. And then I started crying, and then I started laughing, and then I got really, really sexually excited. And this was only in a 45-minute session, which was pretty hot. It's pretty good. So I will say definitely look into the yoni massage, but I'll share some for my more visual listeners. I'll definitely give some examples of what to do physically. So before we begin, go ahead and light your candle. Refill your bottle of wine. Sit back and
refill your bottle. I hope you only drink.
Yeah, refill your bottle of wine. Oh. You can do that. You know, if it's water, I think, you know, Sage has been doing her beet, apple, and ginger. You know, whatever you need to do, because you know you do. You have to visualize this and get an understanding, most definitely, of what you're doing. You know, you're creating this deeper level, and you're creating this openness. And you definitely want to allow her sacred space or temple, to be treated with honor and respect. And you want to do that with her feminine nature as well as her divine goddess. So you want to pay attention, you know, to who she is and pay attention to her needs. And so one of the ways that we begin to do that physically is, let's think of one of the different ways, a massage, okay? So I don't, you know, we don't want to just kind of think of it as I'm touching her yoni and or I'm touching my yoni and I'm doing it solely for physical pleasure, okay? So let's move beyond that. So imagine yourself this temple as it's described. Imagine yourself this sacred space as it's described. And so if you think about it along those lines, and if you were walking, I remember when, again, in Hawaii, and we were going into a Buddhist temple, then we had to take our shoes off, and we were very mindful of where we stepped, and we were very mindful of the things that we did in there. We spoke in very low tones, and it was definitely out of reverence, out of respect, and honoring, you know, all those who may have built this temple, all those who may have worshipped in this temple, and you could feel that presence there. And so I think we should treat ourselves the same way, if not better. You know, recognizing the goddess in us, recognizing our divinity, and definitely our femininity and how beautiful that is. And we begin to see ourselves differently, and we will not accept less treatment, anything less than that from our lovers. And we begin to treat ourselves a lot better as well. So one of the things we do is we begin by massaging other parts of the body to encourage relaxation. So whether that's your shoulders, whether it's your stomach, your thighs, your legs, and you want to do that gently but firmly. And you're doing all of that, again, because you're relaxing her. She's taking deep breaths. there can be no talking or very little talking because you want to allow her to become open, you know, in her own time. And when I say her, I'm speaking, you know, as if you were the giver or as if the receiver is one and the same, okay? So next, you know, you want to begin to massage the pubic bone area. And then you're moving down into the inner thigh area. And with your right hand, the right hand, of course, is used to balance the polarity of Tantra. And you're using that to apply a high-quality oil or lubricant to the mound of the yoni. What's the mound? What's the mound? Any of you know what the mound is? They get quiet. Yeah, what's the mound? If you're thinking about your vagina, so typically a mound is a raised area if we're thinking about geographically. So what, you know, where on the yoni is the mound?
You would assume that's the clitoris.
It's
above?
Actually right above, right, just above that, right, just above that. And you want to put that right on the mound of the yoni, pouring enough so that it drips down the outer lips and covers the outside of the yoni. And you want to begin to rub that oil inside and around. And so I can definitely go on, but I feel myself getting really, really relaxed. So I'm going to move on, and I won't continue with that explanation. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and look that up yourself because it is very, it's actually very, it is, even though it's not meant, its sole purpose is not to bring you to orgasm or to be sexually stimulating. There's no way that it cannot be because it is, and even talking about it does that as well. And I also want to add, as far as the yoni massage is concerned, let's give some background into it, if you will. Number one, it's definitely beneficial. I recommend it for nearly all women. It can be done by yourself. It can be done with a partner as a part of tantric love making. We discussed that a few weeks ago. It can be done before or during or after a sex act. It can be done without a sex act. It can be done with same sex or opposite sex friends, and it doesn't necessarily have to be done with a sex partner. I mean, if I don't know what type of friendship everyone has, it can be done as a part of pleasure, therapy, or even spirituality. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And now the holistic approach is that the yoni massage is a spiritual practice that allows a woman to connect to her goddess essence, her feminine core, her Shakti in its many expressions, and ultimately to connect to God. It is meant to work on and involve all the chakras. For those who are knowledgeable in the energy center, the elements, the air, water, earth, and et cetera, and on the physical, energetic, emotional, mental, and spiritual levels or aspects. So these are, this was your introduction, I'll say, to yoni massage. And it's, and I guess, you know, if you look at it from any other way, yeah, it can definitely be something sexual, and I'm hoping you guys are not taking that from that, but it can be that. Now, you are not to don't learn from that space. Don't learn from it being just a place of pleasure or for orgasm like some men do, I guess, and some women may, I guess, and some resources may even focus on that. But when a woman experiences deep arousal, there's pleasure, and then there's sometimes physical or emotional pain that will arise, and you want to definitely be aware of that. And so I will encourage you to go to your bookstore, get some information on it, and read on the therapy aspect or set of therapeutic aspects of yoni massage, the pleasure aspect, and also the spirituality, because deep orgasmic states are a spiritual experience for yourself, for your partner, and you learn how to let go of the pleasure or the physical body in order to facilitate and support the woman in opening to these elevated realms of consciousness and existence, and it can be a beautiful, beautiful thing. So that was yoni massage. And if anybody has any I received a message that just well, I don't even want to read it out loud. Says orgasms for Jesus. That seems so blasphemous.
Girl, who are you talking to?
I'm sorry.
I'm so mad I read it. So I'm trying to keep my eyes on my paper and stay focused on my notes. And
you got affirmations posted like that? What's going on?
So, okay. Moving along.
Whatever works for you. Whatever works for you.
Moving along. I want to very quickly, I want to share the benefits of the Yoni Massage for the recipient very quickly, because afterwards we are going to move to Love, who has a poem just for us. Lady B could not make it, but, of course, we always have a plan B. She's also our plan A. She's not like our plan B, like we want to get rid of something. We are using her as our plan A because she's fantastic. So here are some of the benefits of the Yoni Massage for the recipient. The entire body becomes more sensitive, becomes more pleasurable, becomes orgasmic. And we're talking about an increased awareness, and specifically in the Yoni area, and I can attest to that. Experiencing different and new kinds of orgasms and orgasmic states, learning how to recognize, deepen, lengthen, and expand orgasms, experiencing the auspicious feminine manifestations of female ejaculation. That's another show. Feeling and releasing past pain and trauma. This is what we've been talking about, and we brought this up at an earlier show as well. Improving or overcoming conditions such as low libido, painful sex and painful orgasms, abundant orgasm, irregular menstruation, menstrual cramps, dryness of the vagina, pain or irritation during lovemaking, bringing health to the yoni, breast, and the entire body and mind, naturally and effortlessly magnifying the aspects of personal love, universal unconditional love, trust, surrender, and femininity. Now, the list of benefits for the receiver goes on and on and on and on, but let me share some for the giver, right? And I have two that are specifically for men who are the lovers. And so for men who have conditions like, you know, STDs or STIs or temporary or chronic premature ejaculation or erectile dysfunction, men who are already ejaculated, men who are fatigued or elderly, or men who have a small, you know, can still pleasure a woman with their fingers, and men who are starting in sexual tantra and practicing ejaculation control often have pause. You know. We'll just say the Sanskrit word, which is lingam. How's that?
Okay.
Who has a small lingam? Okay. It's also a very humbling experience for the giver, inspiring and rewarding to be allowed to facilitate pleasure, therapy, and elevated states of consciousness. It also lends you the opportunity to have better understanding of your woman's specific preferences, rhythms, and challenges, and it connects you with your woman. It teaches you how to pleasure your woman and give simply for the sake of giving. So I will encourage you again, research the benefits of the Yoni Massage. Get into that deeper intimacy and connection and love. Widen your range of shared sexual activity. Increase your communication skills and understanding. Improve your attitude and love and aspire and openness and acceptance and all these beautiful things. And all of this is simply from being more mindful, not only to your body as an individual, but also to the body of your lover and her total well-being, and viewing sexuality more holistically. So if you have any other questions about Yoni Massage, please reach out to the Conscious Creative on Facebook, Instagram. You can also email me at Marie Borrojo, that is MarieDureroho at gmail.com. And our other two hosts will share their information when we get back from this song. And after we get back from this song, the lovely Love Rains is going to share her poem with us. And right now, I'm going to share Jessie J with you. And the song is entitled Who You Are.
Yeah. I stare at my reflection in the mirror. Why am I doing this to myself? Losing my mind on a tiny error. I nearly left the real me on the shelf. What to do to fit the mold, yeah. The more I try, the less it's working.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Conscious Creative. This is Marie Borrojo, and we are one host this short because the Love Rains, she's having technical difficulties all day, and we lost her somewhere in the matrix, somewhere out there floating around. We know that she's okay, but we lost her, which means we lost the opportunity to hear that fantastic poem, but all is not lost because, again, we are always prepared at the Conscious Creative. I am going to share a poem with you that is one of my favorite. I like it a lot, actually, and it's from Charlie Chaplin, and it is a poem that is entitled As I Began to Love Myself, and as read by Marie Borrojo. As I began to love myself, I found that anguish and emotional suffering are only warning signs that I was living against my own truth. Today, I know that this is authenticity. As I began to love myself, I understood how much it can offend somebody. As I tried to force my desires on this person, even though I knew the time was not right and the person was not ready for it, and even though this person was me, today I call it respect. As I began to love myself, I stopped craving for a different life, and I could see that everything that surrounded me was inviting me to grow. Today I call it maturity. As I began to love myself, I understood that any circumstance,
I am in the right place at the right time, and everything happens at the exact right moment so I could be calm. Today, I call it self-confidence. As I began to love myself, I quit stealing my own time, and I stopped designing huge projects for the future. Today, I only do what brings me joy and happiness, things I love to do, and that makes my heart cheer, and I do them in my own way and in my own rhythm. Today, I call it simplicity. As I began to love myself, I freed myself of anything that is no good for my health, food, people, things, situation, and everything that drew me down and away from myself. At first, I called this attitude a healthy egoism. Today, I know it is love of oneself. As I began to love myself, I quit trying to always be right, and ever since, I was wrong less of the time. Today, I discovered that it's modesty. As I began to love myself, I refused to go on living in the past and worrying about the future. Now, I only live for the moment where everything is happening. Today, I live each day, day by day, and I call it fulfillment. As I began to love myself, I recognized that my mind can disturb me and it can make me sick. But as I connected it to my heart, my mind became a valuable ally. Today, I call this connection wisdom of the heart. We no longer need to fear arguments, confrontations, or any kind of problems with ourselves or others. Even stars collide, and out of their crashing, new worlds are born. Today, I know that is life. And that is one of my favorites. Yeah, by Charlie Chaplin. And his journey into loving himself, you know, and we shared with you some of our personal journey into that exact same thing. And it is my sincere hope and my sincere prayer that many who were listening either by phone or online or even who were following us on the social networks, that something in one of the words that one of us said definitely ushered in an understanding, and that understanding was a seed that will continue to grow as you begin to get new understanding and become more enlightened with the process of living and with the ever-changing and ever-growing journey of life. You'll begin to embrace it and know that today is today and tomorrow is a new day. And in all of that, you know, you remember to love yourself deeply, and you'll begin to love yourself just as you are. Again, this was The Conscious Creative, and I am Marie Borrojo. You can reach out to me on any of the social networks. Again, Marie, MarieBurrojo. And you can find me, if you find me, I'm sure it won't be a problem. Say hello. I'll say hello back. Follow me, and I'll follow you back. And we thank you for joining us on The Conscious Creative.
Yes, and this is Sage Myatt. You can find me at Sage_Myatt. On any social media, of course, no underscore on Facebook, but all of the social media, don't forget that underscore. And then feel free, if you'd like to expound on the topic with me, you can definitely reach out to me via email. It's asksagemyatt@gmail.com, and I will have a website coming soon. So this is the Billionaire Brown Girl saying thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you all next week. Remember that you are enough, and you do deserve the best of the best in any situation. And love yourself. Just take some time tonight and look at yourself in your eyes and say, I love you. Say it as much as you need to until you mean it. And again, I hope you have an amazing Sunday, and thank you so much for tuning in to The Conscious Creative.
Love to your entire week, listeners. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.